إمام محمد رضا إمام أهل السنة إمام أحمد رضا إمام أحمد رضا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful silsila, Light of Raza. And inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing this beautiful topic related to the biography and the life history of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma. And the topic is the expertise of Raza on the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah, before we dive deep into today's topic, let's inshallah first of all recite durood and salam in the court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وآله وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا رسول الله ويا حبيب الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وعلى آلك وصحبك أجمعين وسلم. The beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned in his hadith that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. And since it is alhamdulillah the urs of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma in the month of Safar, let's recite durood al-radawiya sharif. صلى الله على النبي الأمي وآله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا رسول الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, once again we are joined by our esteemed scholar of Islam, Alhamdulillah, our teacher at Jamiatul Madina in Durban, South Africa, Maulana Ziyad Madani, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. Maulana Sahib, welcome and marhaba. And dear viewers, please, inshallah, if you can make the ziyarat of Maulana Sahib, alhamdulillah, it is a great fortune that we get to make the ziyarat of ulama-i kiram. Alhamdulillah, most important of all, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, who is guiding the ummah, alhamdulillah, on this maslak of Ala Hazrat. And the rest of the Rukne Shura, the madanis of this beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah, Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah. Maulana Ziyad Madani is in front of us, mashallah. Let's inshallah discuss this beautiful topic of the expertise of Raza on the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because to know the expertise in something, it needs an expert to even scratch the surface of it, alhamdulillah. And Maulana Ziyad Sahib, inshallah, is with us to shine some light on this aspect of the knowledge of hadith of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Let's start with the importance of the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first place. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his Mubarak hadith, I am leaving two things amongst you. For as long as you hold on to them, you will not become astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Book of Allah is the Holy Quran. And the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his biography, alhamdulillah. And how much does a faqih, a mufti of Islam, as Ala Hazrat was a great mufti of Islam, how much should a mufti and a grand jurist need to know about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what are the importance of it? Let's inshallah find out from our Maulana Sahib, Uzur, what are some of the number of ahadith, if you could maybe enlighten on this subject. What are some of the key requirements, especially knowing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to a certain level that needs to be acquired by the person who's issuing Islamic verdicts?
MashaAllah, for someone to be able to issue Islamic verdicts, to be able to understand the fiqh of Islam, the Islamic jurisprudence, one would have to have understanding, knowledge on Kitabullah, the Holy Quran, as well as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not possible for us to understand the Holy Quran correctly and in totality without the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as the guide. He came as the one who brought the Holy Quran to us. His way, his sunnah, his blessed speech is a guideline for us as to how we should live by the Holy Quran. So it is necessary in order to understand the fiqh of Islam, whatever the madhab, whether it be Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, whatever the madhab be, it is important that, or it's necessary that to understand the fiqh of Islam, we must have knowledge on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without knowledge on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is impossible to understand the fiqh of Islam, especially the reasoning behind each mas'ala and each verdict, each ruling. And then again, once this question that Huzur has mentioned was asked or was mentioned by Sayyidina Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentioned that someone asked Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala that what is necessary, what is needed for someone to be able to give Islamic verdicts, to be able to give fatawa. And he mentioned that he must have knowledge on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he must also be able to deduce, to extract rulings, masail from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does this mean? That the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is serving as a basis of Islamic law, as a basis of the fiqh of Islam, or Islamic jurisprudence as we call it, subhanallah azza wa jalla. Without that basis, without that foundation, it's not possible to be able to establish Islamic jurisprudence. So this is the importance that the hadith holds within the field of fiqh. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, as Huzur mentioned, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala ali could not have been the faqih that he was. And subhanallah, the amount of books he's written. One of the previous episodes of this silsila, The Light of Raza, we discussed the brilliant ability in writing that Sayyidi Ala Zahmatullah Ali had, and his fatwa book, Fatawa Radwiya Sharif. And subhanallah azza wa jal, he has written so many fatawa. It is impossible for him to have written that many fatawa with such in-depth answers and dalail without a strong grasp on the knowledge of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was definitely one of his kind in the field of hadith, subhanallah azza wa jalla.
Alhamdulillah, we also know him as Muhaddis Bareilly, subhanallah.
Yes.
So he Mashallah. Was the Muhaddis from Bareilly Sharif. He is known, this is one of his titles, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely. And really, Sayyidi Ala rahmatullahi alayhi did have much knowledge, a lot of knowledge on hadith. There are so many books that he's written, and in his kutub as well, you find that he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi constantly makes reference to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a means of dalail. And thus the muhaddithun around the area and those who knew Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, they would refer to him as well as a muhaddith. And as you mentioned, Muhaddith Bareilly, because he's from Bareilly Sharif. So he was the muhaddith of Bareilly Sharif. Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. So we are talking about this great personality who has in-depth knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that if someone maybe could write a question to Ala Hazrat and they would say, all right, I didn't find hadith on this particular subject. Mm-hmm. And then Ala Hazrat would say, subhanallah, there are numerous hadith on this subject. And that to a person who's capable, who is a learned person, is writing to Ala Hazrat. And Ala Hazrat is surprised to find out that the person couldn't find the hadith. So Allah Hazrat said, there are numerous ahadith, subhanallah. And Allah Hazrat mentioned like about over 40 ahadith, subhanallah, related to that. He said, there are more, but I would restrict to that, inshallah, azza wa jal. So this is the in-depth knowledge of Sayyidi Allah Hazrat in the field of hadith, mashallah. And as Mu'asab has mentioned, the quotation from the works of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala, mashallah. So we all know the importance of it. But when it comes to the expertise of Raza on the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are some of the examples that we can find in the works of Ala Hazrat? For example, if Mu'asab can highlight one of the works where Sayyidi Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma has, alhamdulillah, did justice to this science of knowledge and his in-depth knowledge of the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. There are so many. Really, there are so many, because when Allah says, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali is answering questions, and you find one of his foundations being the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he had in-depth knowledge on. Huzoor just mentioned on one of the previous episodes that when the scholars would be asked regarding Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, there was a great muhaddith that referred to Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Who was that scholar?
Maulana Wasi Ahmad Surati Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali.
Muhaddith Surati Rahmatullahi
Ta'ala Ali. Hafiz of Sahih Bukhari, subhanAllah.
Yes, Hafiz of Sahih Bukhari, great muhaddith, is referring to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He's the leader in Ahadith. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, you see his ability. You see his ability when he, Rahmatullah Ali, is proving something, answering something, giving dalail, then he gives so many ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once a question was actually posed, and there was sort of an objection made that taqdeer is already in place, and thus the objection was such that it was against the planning for the future. That means one is not allowed to have any future planning. This was just an objection, something being placed, that we are not allowed to plan anything for the future because taqdeer is in place. However, we know that this objection is futile. That Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined things for us. That we are within dunya, we can try to plan for the future whilst knowing. It is important that we know that everything that we do plan is still dependent upon the taqdeer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. And that it is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no matter how much we can plan for anything, no matter how we set our minds and we ensure that every area is covered, no matter how much we do so, we know and we must believe that if Allah azza wa jal wills for it to go differently, then despite all our planning, it will go differently.
Subhanallah.
And it will only be as per our plan if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that it be as per our plan. Then it will be as per our plan. So it is completely dependent upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this doesn't mean that one shouldn't plan. One should plan. For example, you should plan that if the next salah time is coming, I'm going to perform salah. I'm going to try to get to the nearby masjid. If you don't plan, then just when the adhan goes and then you realize that, oh, it is now time for salah, and now you try to do something immediately, then how is it you're going to catch your jama'ah? There's so many ways that you will need to do some amount of planning, but understand that it's as per the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in my taqdeer that my mawt will come before the next salah time, then there's nothing I can do to stop that. So nonetheless, Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi also allowed, and he said that yes, we are allowed to plan. That taqdeer does not mean that you cannot plan anything for the future. And he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had brought a hadith in this regard. And subhanallah, this is one of the many occasions in which Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has brought, in the terminology of the muhaddithun, an arba'een.
Subhanallah.
That means 40 ahadith. 40 ahadith related to a certain topic. So he rahmatullahi ta'ala ali has brought 40 ahadith related to this to let us know that yes, you can plan, make good plans within the boundaries of Sharia, whilst knowing very well that it is dependent upon that which Allah azza wa jal allows to happen for us.
Subhanallah. And Sayyidi, he has given such beautiful examples. First, he given the evidence from the Holy Quran. And he says it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for dua.
Yes.
To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's in the taqdeer, it will be given to us.
Yes.
Subhanallah. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is commanding us to make dua.
Yes.
Subhanallah. That is one thing. Then he brings the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the interpretation for that verse of the Holy Quran. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals his wrath upon the person who does not ask him.
Ah,
Allah. Subhanallah, who does not make dua to him. Subhanallah. So all of this is to prove that there are ways and there are channels through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants what is already predestined by him.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
So sabab and the reasoning behind anything, to find means, to find reason to get to what is destined for you, is sunnah, such as alhamdulillah, going for rizq, seeking your rizq is sunnah,
yes.
Mashallah. And these are, and there are various examples Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma has given in the light of ahadith of Rasulullah.
Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam just mentioned there are 40 ahadith, subhanallah, only on this subject of Tadbir, mashallah. And then, subhanAllah, we also see Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah, that it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us sinful people that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be our intercessor.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah.
And he is our wasila in both the world. Wasilatuna fid darain, subhanAllah. Absolutely. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, and his firm yaqeen on the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that he even pens in his various ashar, alhamdulillah, kya hi zauq afza shafaat hai tumhari wah wah, qarz leti hai guna parhezgari wah wah. And then in another beautiful kalam of his, he says that sunte hain ki mahshar mein sirf unki rasai hai, subhanallah. And then in the maqta, he says that if there was any doubt in the first stanza that I have mentioned, matla mein wo kya shak tha. I mean, there is no doubt.
Wallah raza.
Wallah raza wallah. Wallah. By Allah, subhanallah. Sirf unki rasai hai. Only he has that approach in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede for the ummah. When he will be in the sajda and he will not lift up his mubarak forehead from the ground until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, irfa'i rasak ya Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Lift up your head ya Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ask, it will be given. Intercede, your intercession will be accepted. Subhanallah. Wow. So until that time, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be crying for us. As Allah Hazrat says, and he pictures this beautiful scenario. Peshe haq mujda shafaat ka suna de jayenge. Peshe haq mujda shafaat ka suna de jayenge. Aap rote jayenge. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, he will be crying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put a smile on our face.
Subhanallah,
this is the worry of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding his ummah. And he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make me hopeless about my ummah. Allahu Akbar. Allah used to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him in the Holy Quran, in Surah Duha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much that you will be pleased. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will not be pleased until each and every ummati is given permission to enter Jannah, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
So this is the rida of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khuda ki rida chahte hain du alam. That both the worlds, they seek for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah azza wa jal, khuda chahta hai raza-e Muhammad. Allah azza wa jal, he seeks the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reality that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah has explained in this remarkable treatise of his, and he says, and he names it Isma'ul Arba'een fi Shafa'ati Sayyidil Mahbubin. That's 40 hadith, subhanallah, regarding the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 40 hadith, subhanallah. He could have mentioned more,
yes,
subhanallah, but he wanted to compile an Arba'een so it can be of benefit to us.
Yes.
To strengthen our faith and our iman in the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Actually, Huzur, at times, Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali writes a certain number of narrations, and our scholars tend to do that, although they could have written more.
Yes.
But they write a certain amount so that it remains easy upon us, that we are able to open up those books and we are able to read it. Because when you see that, mashallah, there's an Arba'een, there's 40 ahadith mentioned on a certain topic, like the topic of Shafa'ah, for example, then alhamdulillah, we still have the courage that yes, I can manage to sit and read 40 ahadith on the topic. Whereas sometimes, at times, something needs to be proven and shown that there are a large number of hadith, that there is a large amount of hadith on a certain topic. That's where Allah rahmatullah alayhi writes many, many ahadith.
Subhanallah.
And on this topic of shafa'ah, 40 was sufficient to prove that there will be shafa'ah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, we would all of creation, we'd all be in need of the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah azza wa jal, It is Allah's rahmah upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the sahara of the shafa'ah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So, mashallah, these aqaid and these understandings is part of the contribution that Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has done to this ummah, alhamdulillah, through his in-depth knowledge of the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Aptly said, alhamdulillah. And Muasab, as you mentioned, there are not only 40 hadiths on a given topic,
yes,
but there were times when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he would give maybe over 90 hadiths,
yes,
and sometimes he would give over 120 hadiths,
yes,
on a very particular subject,
yes,
that needed more attention,
yes,
that needed more clarity. Alhamdulillah, and it had to be proven, and it was the need of the time. So there can be no one that can stand tomorrow and say, no, This is not proven, and that is not proven. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmah closed the doors of all evils, alhamdulillah,
alhamdulillah,
by penning it down, and by, alhamdulillah, you know, as we say, by safeguarding,
yes,
the beautiful aqaid of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah,
alhamdulillah,
and the deen of Islam, alhamdulillah,
alhamdulillah,
for us, for the laymen,
yes,
that are not really in depth into the knowledge of hadith or fiqh. Islamic theology as such.
Yes.
Muasab, if you can shed some light, inshallah, on those beautiful and in-depth fatawas of Allah Hazrat and the Rasail of Allah Hazrat that had more than 40 hadiths,
yes,
alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah, as per the need, Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would quote that many ahadith as per the need. So in some of them we found that 40 ahadith were quoted by Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi alayhi because it would be easy for us to be able to read. But there are times when, in order to emphasize something, to show you how well established it is in the deen of Islam, they say the Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he would quote more hadith. Now, I also want to bring to the attention of our viewers of Madani channel as well, that remember, in the time of Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, there wasn't a search system as we have today.
Yes.
Now, today, if I am looking for a hadith on a certain topic, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, I'm able to search for certain keywords of the hadith, click search on my mobile device or my PC, my computer or my laptop. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, so many ahadith would come up on that topic.
But it's not contextual.
There too, it may not all be contextual as per what it is that I want to speak about, meaning in that specific flow of writing. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. However, in that time when there wasn't that search option, at that time, to know of so many different ahadith and where to find all of those ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you see Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi's books, when he makes reference to certain books, you see that they are not only very few books. There are so many books he makes reference to on hadith Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, it shows that he rahmatullahi alayhi had access and knowledge of those books. Access to those books and knowledge regarding those books as well. So subhanallah azza wa jal, he would read and read and read extensively. I've listened to one of my asatida speaking of Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi alayhi, and he says that one of the researches of the scholars regarding Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi alayhi is that whichever material, literature on Islamic knowledge, meaning the books regarding hadith and fiqh, etc., that were kept, written, published, whatever correct material there was, from the time of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Sayyidi Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidi Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi had read that.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Imagine someone that, one of the researchers, says that Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi had read all of that material, whatever was not lost, whatever was not destroyed, whatever was preserved, that he rahmatullahi alayhi would read that. And Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with a photographic memory, that he would read something and once he rahmatullahi alayhi looked towards it and read it, it would be saved in his mind.
Subhanallah, Masab, just very quickly, mafwe the interruption.
No,
Sayyidi Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmah, okay, we alhamdulillah, we say that he was a miraculous personality.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, he took the measures,
yes,
to learn.
Yes.
Innamal ilm bitta'allum.
Yes.
Right? And he practiced that.
Yes.
So much so that I've heard and I've read in his beautiful biography that his eyes would pain and he would still read, subhanallah,
Allah,
to that extent. Do we do that?
Ya Allah.
He had photographic memory. I mean, he only had to read once. Right?
Yes.
And he would remember it. At least he read once.
Yes.
Do we do that?
Actually, for that, one needs to read in order to develop your ability to learn. Just like, for example, someone wants to become strong.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to become physically strong, they go through certain strenuous exercises in order to build their ability to be able to lift something heavy.
Subhanallah.
So like that, if someone wants to learn as well, someone wants to memorize as well, it takes a lot of practice.
Definitely.
It takes a lot of reading. It takes a lot of learning to become good at learning. It takes a lot of reading to become good at reading. And it takes a lot of memorization to become good at memorizing. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, it takes a lot of work and understanding for your mind to be open to understanding. So subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, you see that there's a great effort that Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali had also put in. Without that effort, there isn't a success. Our Asatidha Ikram would often tell us that there is no substitute to hard work. You know, some students just wish, they say, Ustaz Sahab, is there anything I can have? Is there some tablet I can take or some injection that I can take that all the ilm will just come into my mind? You know, is there some process of what can we call it, like osmosis that it can just be absorbed into my mind? Hard work. There isn't a substitute to hard work. Hard work is necessary. Hard work is needed. A little bit of sacrifice of one's sleep is necessary. A little bit of sacrifice of one's food is necessary. Sacrificing your desires, that means others could be going home and relaxing, could be spending time with families and friends. However, some amount of hard work you're going to have to put in, sacrifice that and sit and read, sit and learn. It's not easy that on a Thursday night after work, after an entire day's work on a Thursday night, to then say I'm going to sacrifice a few hours of my pleasure time, of my relaxation, of my supper time and my family time so that I can go and sit in an ijtima of Dawud Islami to learn Ilm-e-Deen. It's not simple. It's going to be hard work. You're going to have to take some journey. You're going to have to travel a little bit. Not everyone is so close to the Madani Markaz. They travel a little bit. And you see that the fuqaha, the sulaha ikram, they even took those levels, that they would travel, they would go out, they would meet ulama ikram, they would learn from them. Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali, he also, great asatidah, great teachers of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali, that Ala Rahmatullah Ali would go to them to learn. And then many students would come to Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. You see that it doesn't happen without hard work. So there was hard work and there was reading and there were sacrifices involved for Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali to gain this high level of knowledge that he Rahmatullah Ali had. And when there came the time that there was the need to have these pinned and have these proven, then subhanallah azza wa jal, you saw the ability of the imam, the ability of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that when there was a rejection regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the greatest Nabi of Allah. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the king, the sayyid, the leader of the anbiya, the leader of the rusul, the leader of the messengers of Allah azza wa jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah have Allah Ta'ala's peace and salutations descend upon the blessed prophets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the prophets. And subhanallah azza wa jal, when there came the time that Allah azza rahmatullah alayhi was to explain that and to prove that, and then when he penned, then he rahmatullah alayhi quoted 100 ahadith. 100 ahadith to state that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Sayyid, he is the leader of the Mursaleen. He is the leader of the prophets of Allah. He is the leader of the messengers of Allah. There's this beautiful share of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Perhaps it's in Mulana Sa's memory, where Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali spoke about Namaz-e-Aqsa mein tha yahi sir.
Namaz-e-Aqsa mein tha yahi sir, aya ho maanae awwal akhir. Ki dast basta hai peeche hazir jo saltanat aage kar gaye the. Subhanallah.
So please share the English of that share.
It means that what was the wisdom and the secret behind the salah in Al-Aqsa?
Yes.
In Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. So the secret was that it must reveal the meaning of being the first and being the last.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. And then How was it practically done? Ki dast basta hai piche hazir. Because when the stuffs of the Anbiya that are following the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah, mm-hmm. he is the imam and they are standing behind him with their hands folded. Jo sultanat aage kar gaye the, and yet they were the kings of their time, in their time when they had been, alhamdulillah, sent to this earth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then the king of those Anbiya alayhimus salam was then placed forward. And the king of the Anbiya alayhimus salam is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Sayyidul Anbiya. Now, yes. What I also would like for our viewers to also draw their attention to, this is a share of Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi alayhi, in which he is showing the ranking of the Anbiya alayhimus salam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are of such high ranking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he rahmatullahi alayhi shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of all of those Anbiya alayhimus salam. Now see, then when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi penned this share, then how much is there to back this share of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, to support this share of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi? There are, subhanallah azza wa jal, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi quoted 100 ahadith. He Rahmatullah Alayhi quoted 100 ahadith on this topic, and this is how you see. In the writings of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he Rahmatullah Alayhi is so particular that you will always find ayat of the Holy Quran, ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waqi'at of the Buzurgani Deen of the pious predecessors that will be backing his writing. He never just writes like that. It can be one share that he mentions, but there are 100 ahadith that he read and understood before he wrote that shit.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
The more in-depth your learning is, yes. the more you would understand his ashar, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely.
Every share of Ala Hazrat is either the summary of some Quranic verses or the summary of the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every share of Ala Hazrat.
Subhanallah.
And as Muhasab has mentioned about the Anbiya and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the leader of Anbiya, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, that Anbiya se karun arz kyo maliko, kya nabi hai tumhara hamara nabi? Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Why shouldn't we say to the Anbiya, is our nabi also your nabi? Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Azza wa jal. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is writing in his ashar. Actually, Huzur, there are so many times, just alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, through the blessings of Dawat Islami, the Fezana of Amir al-Sunnat, and definitely the fountain from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali flowing to us through Amir al-Sunnat, our home and household has also become one of an ilmi background in which the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discussed. And thus I would really encourage all of our viewers of Madani Channel that please lock your TVs to Madani Channel. Lock your devices to Madani Channel. Learn whatever Dawat Islami is giving. Alhamdulillah. Attach yourselves and your children, your families to Dawat Islami. For Islamic sisters, their activities. For Islamic brothers, their activities. For children, their activities. For youth, their activities. They are the Jami'atul Madina, Madrasatul Madina. What happens? As a result of that, you start to become more inclined towards the knowledge of deen. More inclined towards Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi. More inclined towards doing good and staying away from evil. More inclined towards giving neki ki da'wat and stopping people from evil. So Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, just recently a beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was being discussed. And it often happens like this, that at home with the family, some hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is discussed. And ash'ar written by Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi come to mind, that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was speaking of this hadith when he wrote this share. And he spoke of this ayah when he wrote this share. We learned the ash'ar. We heard the ash'ar so many times, we've learned them. But maybe we didn't read the hadith yet. And when someone reads the hadith to us and we say, so that is why Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi has said this. So Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi speaks of the greatness of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That he is the leader of the prophets, and you see that he pens 100 ahadith on that. On the topic of Khatm al-Nabuwa, the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember there was a time in which some people were denying the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And this is one of the core beliefs of Islam.
Absolutely. One of the core beliefs of Islam is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La nabiyya ba'di, there is no possibility of any nabi coming with any new sharia or new way after Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet of Allah.
Subhanallah.
Final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's title is Khatamun Nabiyyin. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was the time that people were denying the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. That is a belief that takes one out of the fold of Islam to consider that another Nabi can come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi saw this need. And he, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, picked up his blessed pen. The pen of Raza, subhanallah azza wa jal. I feel that Allah ta'ala grant us the ability that in coming months or years that we should speak on the pen of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat. Really, I think kalams can be written and books can be written on just the pen of Raza.
Yes. And the pen of the ulama who fight with their pen.
Yes.
According to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ink on the day of judgment will be weighed against the blood of the martyrs.
Allahu Akbar. The ink of the ulama.
Yeah, the pen of the ulama. Yeah.
The ink of the pen of the ulama being weighed against the blood of the martyrs. Do we see that how valuable that ilm that they are granting, that they are blessing people with, that they are passing forth, how valuable that ilm is. Subhanallah Azza.
And we learn the value of it, alhamdulillah, from the share of Huzur Mufti Azam Hind, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He says very beautifully,
Khuda aisi quwwat de mere qalam mein ki bad mazhabon ko sudhara karun main. कि बद मज़हबों को सुधारा करो
सुभानअल्लाह
सुभानअल्लाह
आमीन आमीन
सुभानअल्लाह सो दिस वाज दे सेंटीमेंट बिकॉज़ दे रेड द हदीस ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह
सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम
व्हाट इज इट टू फाइट विद योर पेन
सो सैयद आला रहमतुल्लाह अली स्टूड अप with his blessed pen, and he wrote, he penned regarding the khatm nabuwah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he penned, he had written, he had quoted 121 ahadith in this regard.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. These are points at which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes a large number of ahadith, emphasizing this and teaching the ummah that, oh ummah, understand that these are matters of your deen and there is no backing down or negotiation with it. The matters of your aqaid, the matters of your deen, the matters of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, there is sufficient proof in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the aqaid of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we hold on to that. That is the reason we hold on to Allah
subhanahu
wa, because he never backed down from the true aqaid of Islam.
And he's the one who came to instill those Islamic teachings in our hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever there was a deviation, even slight deviation from the true teachings of Islam, he came and corrected.
Yes, absolutely.
There is no two ways about it.
Yes.
When it comes to our Islamic creed and Islamic aqaid and beliefs, alhamdulillah, which is the first level of knowledge.
Yes.
Which is the fard knowledge.
Right.
Before even learning the practices, we need to learn the fiqhul akbar, which is the aqaid.
The aqaid. Which makes so much sense, Huzur, that the student of Sayyidina Al-Hazrat, Huzur Sadr al-Sharia, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has written this beautiful encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh.
Mashallah.
We can proudly say it's an encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh. That really, if you want to find Hanafi fiqh, you're looking for a book in which you can learn Hanafi fiqh from. He's written a book, Amir al-Sunnah refers to that book as Alim Banane Wale Kitab.
Subhan.
That really, by understanding this, one can become an alim of fiqh, of one who understands and knows fiqh. And this book is Bahari Shariat. When we look towards Bahari Shariat and we see that Hazrat wrote about so many different topics regarding Hanafi fiqh, so many different topics regarding our Islam. What's the first topic, the first volume that Hazrat wrote, that Huzur Sadr Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali had written, he had written it on aqaid.
Subhanallah.
That is the basis. If there is no aqaid, if the aqaid of Islam are not set strong in one's heart, then no amal means anything. Whatever amal one may do, it will be worthless. Why? Because one does not have the aqaid, the true aqaid of Islam in his heart. But once someone has the basis, which is the aqaid of Ahlus Sunnah, the aqaid of Islam, the true belief system of Islam, then subhanallah, good a'mal can benefit that person.
Subhanallah. Definitely. Very beautifully said, Mawlana Sahib. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman, through his various fatawas and through the compilation of ahadith, as we are just discussing,
yes,
that 121 ahadith only on the subject of the finality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were times when Ala Hazrat was approached by his ustaz, Mawlana Ghulam Qadir Beg rahmatullahi ta'ala, and he had asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat the question. And in answer to that question as well, Ala Hazrat alhamdulillah penned down many ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was such a student, even his teachers were proud of him.
Absolutely.
His pirsah was proud of him as his murid, subhanallah. The sanad of Sayyidi Ala, such strong sanad, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely.
And when he went to Haramain Sharif, and then the ulama of Haramain Sharif, and the imam of Haram-e Makkah, he gave him the sanad of hadith, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
As well as, and the sanad of hadith of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman, his in-depth knowledge was so strong that even the ulama in Arab, they would take sanads from Ala Hazrat.
Yes. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So the one connecting himself to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh is actually connecting himself to a very strong chain.
Subhanallah.
So that is a chain of light. That is all the way to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nuraniyat is flowing down. It reaches us through Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Alhamdulillah.
And we are talking about the fiqh, alhamdulillah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's in-depth knowledge of fiqh. That chain too, since we are discussing chain, Ali Jazatul Matina, this beautiful book, where all the chains of ijazat of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman are written down by Ala Hazrat himself.
Subhanallah.
If one wants to refer to it, to find out the credibility of Ala Hazrat's chains of narrations and so on, mashallah. His chain of fiqh leads up to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, and up to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiyallahu ta'ala, then to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we take our deen, meaning this is the Hanafi fiqh that we are practicing, that we find in Fatawa Razviya, alhamdulillah, in the works of Ala Hazrat. This is not the works of Ala Hazrat only. This is, alhamdulillah, derived from the fiqh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming from all these chains, mashallah.
Subhanallah.
Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood, then the teacher of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, Sayyidina Hamad, I believe.
Ji.
And coming down after him, alhamdulillah, through the various different chains, mashallah, Sayyidina Imam Zufar and so on. So this is the chain of light that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he passed down to his students, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us attached to Sayyidina Ala Hazrat rahmatullah Ali. Because really attachment to Sayyidina Ala Hazrat rahmatullah Ali is so much of good. And detachment from him is the loss of all that good.
Definitely.
So subhanallah azza wa jal, therefore Amir al-Sunnat always advises us that hold on to the daman of Sayyidi Ala.
Because what do we say when we mean to attach ourselves to Halat? Meaning his maslak, his teachings.
Yes.
And what are his teachings? His teachings are the teachings of Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Basically, so deviating from that is deviating from the path of Rasulullah.
Absolutely.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he teaches no foreign theories and fancy ideas other than the Sunnah of Rasulullah
sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. So when we say maslaki alad, we mean the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its most purest form.
Yes, and mashallah, Dawat Islam is holding on to exactly this. For example, the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the face of men is that they should grow a beard. And subhanallah, growing the beard is the sunnah. And Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali encouraged this, isn't it? Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, regarding the beard, he rahmatullahi Ali had compiled, he had written down, put together 56 ahadith that he had gathered. 56 ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the sunnah of the beard, speaking about why we should grow the beard upon the face. That is proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of tying the blessed Imamah Sharif.
Subhanallah.
Is subhanallah. What a sunnah that is being revived in this era through Dawat-e-Islami.
Alhamdulillah.
And Allah rahmatullah alayhi had also penned on this, isn't it?
Yes.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
And subhanallah azza wa jal, the little time that it takes us to perform salah, only we can adopt these sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of wearing the imama sharif. How much more our rewards will be increased, will be multiplied. The sunnah of growing the beard upon the face is also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see from the blessed ashab alayhim ridwan, that just whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, they wanted to emulate. They just wanted to copy it. There was no question about do I have to, or is it proven that I have to, is it a command? It was just that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, so I want to do it.
Subhanallah.
We need to become those sort of ushaq. Ashiq of that level, lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of that level, that when my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done it, when it is proven from my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't require anything more. I don't require anyone to force me. I don't require anyone to encourage me. I don't require anyone to motivate me. But I was sold the moment you said Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so. So if my Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so, that was enough for me. I'm not going to argue now, do I have to or can I leave it? No. My Huzur did it.
Alhamdulillah, same teaching that was passed on by Imam Azam Abu Hanifa,
our
Imam, mashallah, he used to say, إِذَا صَحَ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ مَذَبِي
Subhanallah.
When there is a sahih hadith, that becomes my madhab, subhanallah.
Yes.
There is no ifs and buts and, you know, but
yes.
it should be like this. No such thing. Our Imam has taught this to
Absolutely.
Have this mindset. When the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something, Amanna wa saddaqana, follow, inshallah.
Absolutely.
Subhanallah. So that should be our attitude. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat came to teach us that attitude.
Yes.
MashaAllah. That if we can only become someone or become something when we reach the court of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ba khuda khuda ka yahi hadar, nahi aur koi mafar maqar, jo wahan se ho yahi aake ho, jo yahan nahi, to wahan nahi. Subhanallah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, if you want to become something, or whoever has become something, he has become something from this, or someone from this door. And whoever is not accepted here, they are not accepted there, subhanallah.
Absolutely.
Subhanallah, such beautiful concept is given by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah,
rahmatullahi ta'ala,
to attach ourselves to the doorstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to listen beautiful kalam. I would request our director sahab to play this kalam, and inshallah we'll be back shortly after this kalam. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Raza 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 Ahmad raza. Raza 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 Ahmad raza.
Raza
raza raza raza raza Ahmad raza.
Raza
raza raza raza raza Ahmad raza.
Raza
maslak e raza.
Raza
marhaba marhaba
naghma e raza.
Raza
marhaba marhaba
jazba e raza.
Raza
marhaba marhaba
jalwa e raza.
Raza
marhaba marhaba
marhaba marhaba
raza
Ahmad raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
mere raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
Ahmad raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
mere raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
har fan mein tujhko kamil hi paya. Har fan mein tujhko kamil hi paya. Har fan mein tujhko kamil hi paya. Fehme raza ki kya baat hai. Fehme raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
Ahmad raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
mere raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
Ahmad raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
mere raza ki kya baat hai.
Raza
tere qalam par qurban jaao. Tere qalam par qurban jaao. Tere qalam par qurban jaao. Tere qalam ki kya baat hai. تیرے قلم کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی پیارے رضا
رضا
احمد رضا سونے رضا
رضا
سب سنیوں پر احسان تیرا سب سنیوں پر احسان تیرا سب سنیوں پر احسان تیرا تیرے کرم کی کیا بات ہے تیرے کرم کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا مسلک رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا نغمہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا جذبہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا جلوہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا
رضا
علماء نے ٹھہرایا تجھ کو مجدد علماء نے ٹھہرایا تجھ کو مجدد علماء نے ٹھہرایا تجھ کو مجدد علم و عمل کی کیا بات ہے علم و عمل کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
ثانی زمانے نے تیرا نہ پایا ثانی زمانے نے تیرا نہ پایا ثانی زمانے نے تیرا نہ پایا ان عظمتوں کی کیا بات ہے ان عظمتوں کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا رے رضا
رضا
احمد رضا سونے رضا
رضا
نعتوں نے تیری رنگ جمایا عشق بڑھایا شیدا بنایا نعتوں نے تیری رنگ جمایا نعتوں نے تیری رنگ جمایا تیرے سخن کی کیا بات ہے تیرے سخن کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا اللہ اکبر وہ شاعری تیری اللہ اکبر وہ شاعری تیری اللہ اکبر عشق نبی کی کیا بات ہے عشق نبی کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
مسلک رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا نغمہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا جذبہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا جلوہ رضا
رضا
مرحبا مرحبا
رضا
جڑ کاٹ دی سارے فتنوں کی تو نے جڑ کاٹ دی سارے فتنوں کی تو نے جڑ کاٹ دی سارے فتنوں کی تو نے کل کے رضا کی کیا بات ہے کل کے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا رے رضا
رضا
احمد رضا سونے رضا
رضا تو بھی سگانے در میں گئے فانی تو بھی سگانے در میں گئے فانی تو بھی سگانے در میں ہے فانی
اس سلسلے کی کیا بات ہے اس سلسلے کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
میرے رضا کی کیا بات ہے
رضا
احمد رضا
مسلک رضا
رضا مرحبا مرحبا
نغمہ رضا
رضا مرحبا مرحبا
جذبہ رضا
رضا مرحبا مرحبا
جلوہ رضا
رضا مرحبا مرحبا
رضا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the expertise of Raza and the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And together with Maulana sahab, alhamdulillah, we are on this journey, mashallah. I hope you are enjoying it. We are enjoying it as well, alhamdulillah, because the more we learn, the more it helps us, inshallah, azza wa jal. Because as it is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to always keep learning, and the teachings of Buzurgan Deen to always make mudhakara, as Amir al-Sunnah Dhamma Barakatuhu al-Aliya has taught us how beautiful, the beautiful concept of making mudhakara, of, you know, passing information and discussing Islamic subjects together, alhamdulillah, so we can at the same time bring each other up to speed, inshallah, azza wa jal. So that is one of the reasons of having this beautiful silsila, alhamdulillah, so we can remember the contributions of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma and be thankful to him, alhamdulillah, for giving us and for, alhamdulillah, delivering this beautiful service that he has rendered to us in the form of reviving the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in his time, alhamdulillah. In getting the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and making it more accessible to us, to the layman, alhamdulillah. And single-handedly he has achieved all of this. And we are discussing his in-depth knowledge of hadith, as we just discussed with Maulana Sahab, that on certain topics, Maulana Sahab, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma, he did have a collection of ahadiths, 40 yes. ahadiths, sometimes on the parents, you know, the rights of parents. He brought, let's say, for example, 91 ahadiths only on the rights of parents, alhamdulillah. So this is again social topic, not only in aqaid matters, but in social matters as well. And you could throw any topic and say the Ala Hazrat, his in-depth knowledge of hadith is that he would find the relevant hadith to that particular subject, inshallah, and would bring it to surface.
Subhanallah.
Not only restricted to the hadith that are related to aqaid, alhamdulillah, the muamalat as well, and the hadith on mu'anaqa, meaning hugging each other at the occasion of Eid and Bakrid, alhamdulillah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat has brought numerous hadith on the topic. Then when it comes to the creation of angels, Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma has brought over 10 ahadith on that subject itself, mashallah. So like this, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, whenever he spoke about certain matters of ahadith or certain subjects where he needed to re-strengthen his argument with the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he generally brought ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And mashallah, for our viewers, for your benefit, if you want to alhamdulillah witness the expertise of Ala Hazrat on the science of hadith, then visit dawatislami.net, inshallah, azza wa jal, and find this book, Jami'ul Ahadith,
subhanallah.
Jami'ul Ahadith, it's a compilation of 300 books of Ala Hazrat.
Wow.
And hadith of Ala Hazrat extracted from 300 books. And those ahadith amount to, although he has written close to 1,000 books, but only 300 books of Ala Hazrat, and the ahadith mentioned in them, they amount to 3,663 ahadith.
Ya Allah.
Subhanallah. If you take in contrast to the compilations of hadith, the Sahih compilations such as Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, and so on. Let's say Bukhari Sharif. With repetition, okay, there are about plus minus 7,000 ahadith, but without repetition, the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, 3,000 to 4,000 without repetition. So the same number we see here, alhamdulillah. So Allah Hazrat's contribution in the science of hadith wasn't of of small value, subhanallah. He has provided such a great value when it comes to narrating and mentioning the hadith of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah. Allah Ali had read so many different books.
Subhanallah.
And really what is so beautiful about it is that he makes it easy for us because he gathers from so many books.
Subhanallah.
You'll not just find a hadith from one book. You find it from so many different books. He brings it together in order for us to gain the correct understanding, for us to have those ahadith with us. So we understand that mashallah wa deen is based upon this. But also to get the correct understanding of the hadith. You see, these are two different things that we're speaking of here. One is to have the hadith in front of us, and the other is to correctly understand how we practice upon the hadith. To correctly understand how this hadith is acted upon within our deen of Islam. That is also necessary. Actually, nowadays, I see the trend, Huzur is probably seeing it too, many of our viewers may see it, that the trend of just quoting a hadith and people just say, no, please bring me that hadith in which it is mentioned. They want the hadith and then they want to read the hadith themselves, often not even in the correct text, not in the Arabic text. They would want to read it within whichever language it is they speak, English or Urdu, and then interpret the hadith as they feel suitable. This is just asking for misguidance. Since when do we have such authority to be able to interpret the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And besides, there are so many different ahadith for one to understand which hadith is ma'mool bihi, is acted upon in that situation. We need to look at the fatawa of ulama-i kiram. They will tell us that this hadith is acted upon in this situation. Besides, just to understand that I can accept to act upon this hadith in this situation, you need to understand the hadith itself. There's so much to the background of that. There are the usul of hadith that you need to understand. There is the rijal that Allah subhanahu wa was an expert in. Asma'u Rijal, that where he rahmatullahi ta'ala ali understood and knew the rankings of the different narrators of hadith, so that he could categorize those ahadith into whether that hadith is sahih or that hadith is hasan or mursal or marfu'. Those are just different terms within the field of hadith, and there are many more. But many a times people who have no knowledge on this background are asking that please present that hadith, and then I want to see that hadith myself, and then I must interpret that hadith and then tell you what I believe on it or what I feel about it or how you should act in accordance to that hadith. Huzur, nobody questions the doctor when the doctor gives medication. Nobody questions the doctor when the doctor gives medication. Doctor says, take this medication. What do we say? Jazakallah, Dr. Saab, I will take this medication.
Subhanallah.
Why is it that in today's time when ulama-i kiram present that this is what must be acted upon as per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those without any knowledge on the field of hadith would question that, and they want to give their opinion, the same person who never gave his opinion in the medical field when Dr. Saab gave something.
Subhanallah.
So mashallah, our ulama-i kiram, they've taken from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, who had knowledge in this field of hadith so well, understanding the different categories of hadith and what is to be acted upon as per which situation. It's an in-depth science on its own. And Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali was, we can say comfortably, a master in the science as well. So mashallah, he mastered it and he presented to us. What is it for us to do when the niwala is made and placed in our mouth? It's only to chew and eat.
Definitely.
Alhamdulillah, he's made it simplified things for us and we are being fed. It's only for us to accept.
Actually, we can give we can quote Allah's advice here.
Absolutely.
And it will fit perfectly, inshallah. As he says in Malfuza Sharif, in answer to a question. And he says, eat the mango, don't count the trees. Subhanallah. So, This is the advisor, Sayyidi Ala al-Tahrir. He has done all the hard work. And he, alhamdulillah, is the expert in the field of hadith. And today, as Mu'asaf has mentioned, people ask whether it's sahih hadith or not sahih hadith. People in Indo-Pak, Mu'asaf, the sahih, the word sahih, is not used in the same context as it is used in the context of the usul of hadith.
Absolutely.
Sahih, meaning sahih, what it means in Urdu, sahih, the opposite of it is?
Ghalat.
Ghalat. Sahih and ghalat. So when this is, bring sahih hadith. So first, they must know what they're asking for.
So that means a person who is speaking in that understanding, he is considering anything besides sahih to be ghalat. He is very far from the truth.
Yes. So if you're not an expert, then don't act this manner.
Absolutely.
And it can be very detrimental to a person's iman to say anything negative about the hadith of Rasulullah.
Absolutely.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's say, for example, if a hadith is da'if, it doesn't mean that hadith has no value, ma'azallah. Because hadith being sahih or da'if, it only is determined by the strength of its chain.
Yes.
They both are equally the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we cannot discredit any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unless it is hadith maudu, meaning it's not even a hadith. It is falsely attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides that, no matter how da'if a hadith is, it is still the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have no say in it. For example, as Mu'asab said, that our muhaddisun, right, they used to have this kind of mindset. They used to tell the fuqaha of their time that we are pharmacists. We are pharmacists and we got the stock of medication and you are the doctors.
Yes.
And we only know to supply the medicine, meaning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whereas you are the ones who has the supplies, plus you know how to prescribe it.
Right.
Subhanallah. So this is the position of a faqih of Islam, alhamdulillah. Such as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman. He was a muhaddith plus a faqih, plus a mufti, subhanallah. Now he knew the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knew how to implement them in the proper perspective. Subhanallah. This is the brilliance of Ala Hazrat, mashallah.
MashaAllah. And how needed that is and how important that is, that subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, he was faqih along with being muhaddith. He was one who had the knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was also capable to advise you as to how to act upon it. This is very much needed. In fact, so these are the fruits of the trees that Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali is feeding us, alhamdulillah. After all of his hard work, all of his efforts, all of his sacrifices, and then, mashallah, he feeds us. It's only for us to accept, to take from him, and to be appreciative and act upon it. There's no appreciation to Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali that we can just chant out the slogans of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali. That is not appreciation. Appreciation for the great work of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ali is to study that work, to hold on to his teachings, to act accordingly, to receive his fatawa, to try to make amal upon his fatawa. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, this is appreciation for the work of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to have this. Ameen.
Ameen. Bijahin Nabi. Sayyidi, one last thing that I would, inshallah, want to enlighten our viewers on. Please. Is the takhrij. As Mu'asaf has touched on this subject briefly earlier on, alhamdulillah, takhrij of hadith. As Mu'asaf mentioned, the softwares that are available now.
Absolutely, alhamdulillah.
You can search for keywords and then the database will churn out all the data that is matching your query. Now, with regards to that, takhrij is a very hard and intricate work.
Yes.
If you have to look for something, you just know, okay, this is written, I read it somewhere, or I heard this somewhere. Whether it is a hadith or quotation of a sahabi or anything as such. And you want to find reference for it. And you have no prior knowledge or experience that you read it in some book, so you would remember, okay, maybe if I look there, I'll find it. How great of a task it is to pinpoint that reference, where that word is, where that hadith is, subhanallah. Whereas Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, at times, it is seen that when he looks for a hadith and he mentions, This hadith is mentioned in that book, and that book is written by this imam, and this hadith is narrated by this sahabi, subhanallah, and from the same sahabi in another book, and from in another book from a different sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and like this he presents like 30 to 40 references, subhanallah, for one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and without any books. And the way his words flow, you would think that he has all these references in front of him, you know, indexing them and all of that.
MashaAllah.
Just impromptu, alhamdulillah, everything meticulously penned down, subhanallah.
MashaAllah.
Whereas for an expert researcher, it takes an entire department.
Yes.
And it really takes an entire department. I know of the one beautiful department within our Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, is Shobay Takhrij, meaning the extraction department, meaning
yes,
where they find the references of different quotations within a book or different ahadiths within a book if it wasn't referenced already.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. And they have done great work, alhamdulillah, on Bahari Shariat with regards
yes
to referencing, finding proper references, or even correcting some of the references that were maybe misprinted earlier on.
Right.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
So, mashallah, this is such a great department. These Madanis, alhamdulillah, they are so hardworking. They know what they go through in order to find a reference. Even the book that is on the website of Dawat Islami, its name is Jamiul Ahadith, mashallah. The author of that book, the one who compiled those ahadiths from 300 different books of Al Hazrat, he said, I went through a very difficult time. He went to one of the most prominent libraries in India, and he found, he tried to find references for some of the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu that were mentioned in the books of Al Hazrat. Sometimes he couldn't find a reference in the entire library. Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
And this is one of the great scholars of Islam, subhanallah. He tried to find the hadith of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat that he mentioned in his books. And sometimes he gave up, he couldn't find. Such a great scholar, subhanAllah. And Al-Hazrat, when it comes to giving reference of a hadith, and when the reference is required, he gives 20, 25, 24 references, mashallah. Just like that. Such is his expertise. And looking at keywords, modern technology, is something else. Sometimes not all everything can be found by its keyword, but you must have the concept in your mind in order
yes
to know.
Yes.
Sometimes one concept, like concept of shafa, it can be summarized or summed up with different words, not only the word shafa.
Yes, that's correct.
And there are so many variations of this, you know, the root word of shafa, sheen, fa and ayn, subhanallah, and different variations you would try, and it will take you maybe a couple tries to get to some of the references. Where
yes
Sayyidi Alaz Ali Rahma, the concept of Shafa'at is there in his mind, and those ahadith that are relevant to that particular topic that are also preserved in his heart.
MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. So he doesn't need much indexing to do, alhamdulillah.
It wasn't just keywords.
Yes.
It was the key words, the key ideas, the entire narration is in his mind, and subhanAllah, it's as if he's just picking fruit from the tree.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Masab, it has been a wonderful journey.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. And I hope our viewers out there must have enjoyed Maulana Saab's conversation and his input when it comes to highlighting the expertise of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma in the field of hadith, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah Maulana Saab for being with us, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And we hope Hazrat joins us in future as well, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Muhammad Rida, Imam